Hello, welcome to Bageltech Big, the weekly show that covers everything that's not Apple. So, all the rest of the tech world, what's been going off, what's been happening, and what's not been happening, and what should have happened, and loads of other stuff. It's Thursday night, it's late, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning, so I may gabble a bit, and my mouth may not work properly this evening, but we'll be fine. Got a great panel with you this evening, the same ones from last week. What a time we had, everyone, eh?
Oh, yes.
Top right.
Those were the days.
Mr. James Hart, a.k.a. The Accused. How you doing, mate?
Not guilty, my lad.
Wearing a fantastic shirt. Is that a black shirt with a white tie?
Black shirt, white tie, gone for the mod look this evening, yes.
It looks excellent, mate. You do look fantastic. Good week.
That's very kind. Not a bad week. Thank you very much. I note with interest that we've... I don't know whether there is any connection into this, but travellers have landed in Luton having been kicked out of Basildon, and scientists at CERN have discovered that there's something that moves faster than the speed of light. It ain't travellers.
Okay. So the house prices have gone down then?
Is it possible for them to go any further down?
Not
so possible. I say they're making the place look tidy.
No, and you've had a bit of trouble with expenses, apparently.
Oh no, it wasn't. I haven't had trouble with expenses. Do you know, like, if you go out on business and you go for a meal, and maybe you have a drink or two, and another drink or two, then you stick the receipt in your wallet, and you come back to work, and then you're sort of going through your wallet to see if you can find a tenner to buy a coffee or something. You just go, that receipt, I haven't claimed it back yet, and so I did. I saw it was a bonus. Bonus 15 quid.
It's
excellent.
All that disposable income, mate. You want to go down and see the travellers and start making £20 pay for aeroplanes.
Start giving them my receipts to claim back.
Absolutely, definitely. Next to him, we've got Mr. Windows 8, the man who's written the final word on the review of it. Ian Grant, how you doing, mate?
I'm great, thank you. Having a good week. I've been so bad at work.
Now, you've posted a review of Windows 8 for us on the website. Now you've had a week to play. What's the impression?
I'm impressed, as I said in my review. I've played around quite a bit and it does genuinely seem like it's the way forward. It's going to be great when it's eventually tidied all the bugs. I mean, as I said before, it's alpha code. Don't expect big things yet, but look at what a taste of what it's going to become.
So the thing is now, is this Will Green style love it, where it's going to, you're going to hate it next week, or are you thinking this is genuinely...
No, I'm convinced that it's looking better and better. I am convinced it's the way forward. No lad like here.
Well,
I'm surprised you didn't take any offence from that, Ian. I would never want to be described as Will Green.
I don't know, that's a compliment.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Mr. Green is...
Fair enough.
But the only thing that I can say that sets you apart is we all hate the ribbon, you like it. So maybe that could be the deciding factor.
Yeah, the ribbon's good. The ribbon. Yes, once you get used to it, and you use it for more than 5 minutes.
Now you lose me when you start down on the ribbon, mate. Me and Eric were gone at that point. I think Sarah's gone too, and James is probably teetering at the least.
No, I'm still here.
Are you a ribbon freak then, Sarah?
I've used it a lot with SharePoint and kind of got used to it. I don't think it's the greatest thing, and I think it was you or somebody made the comment the other last week about the fact that you've got the different size icons, and that really made me think about it. So my view is, yes, it could be better, and it works. For some reason, it just works.
And for those of you that have got the video podcast and are wondering why we're seeing up Sarah's nostrils, it's because she's on a laptop at her parents' house in Ireland.
Sorry.
There's nothing more to it than that.
I can't hold it like that all the
are
time.
Are you on holiday?
I am indeed, yes.
Oh, total commitment, missus. Thank you.
Oh, well, that's me, you know.
Good girl. Thank you very much. Enjoy the Irish sunshine, if you can get
any. I will do.
Very good. Are you drinking black stuff or not?
No, mine's rosé this evening.
You went to Jamaican then? It's Jamaican rosé.
Oh, I do a multitude of accents, not as good as you.
Welsh, there was a bit of Welsh.
I'm not going to talk like this, Olive.
Moving on.
Yeah, there was. I just talk my normal thing.
Stick to Essex.
My normal gibberish, yeah. Oh, thanks. No, Hertfordshire, please.
Hertfordshire, right, sorry, mate. Last, but by no means least, the position he loves, Mr. Eric Lanigan.
This has been the most British opening to any Bageltech I've ever been a part of. I have no idea what's been going on.
Really? Well, we talked
from
about
James's
Windows
comment on through Sarah's, I am just lost.
Expenses. You must have expenses.
But this is coming from the person who last night thought that British Columbia was an alternate name for Canada.
Who's this? You.
Me.
Oh, dear.
Me. I don't know why. I didn't know it was a province. I thought for some reason, when would I have learned Canada? I don't know. No one taught me Canada.
It's not that far away from you, Eric.
I thought it was like another name that said someone's calling from British Columbia. I'm like, oh, Canada. And like, yeah. And like, and somewhere along the line, I said, like, is that just like another name? And they're like, yeah. And then let everyone else just jumped on me. I thought it was like an old name that like you guys over there, back when you guys owned Canada, or maybe you still do, I don't know, before its independence called it that. I'm just an idiot when it comes to Canada.
It's part of the Commonwealth. Like
South Park all over again.
You found my weakness. It's Canadian geography.
As long as you're getting the bacon, mate, that's all that matters. Canadian bacon.
Nah, Danish all the way.
Well, same thing. So it's a cut. It's the cut. The week in technology. It's been a hell of a week. I actually managed to listen to Eric's show the other day because I've had a week of insomnia up at 3 o'clock in the morning quite happily for two nights. Unfortunately, it was worthwhile this morning because I had to drive to Southampton. But I caught the tech show, Eric, for a good couple of hours before I finally... went back to bed, but it wasn't you that drove me there, I have to say. It was a good old show. The people there love you to bits, mate.
Well, thanks. Yeah, you're talking about late night tech on Monday, Wednesday, Friday now.
Sure,
yeah,
am,
that's having fun with that.
Now, I actually got a piece of email. Somebody sent me a picture of you that apparently is doing the rounds amongst your fan base. Have you seen it?
No.
There we go.
No, what is this going to be?
Oh, what a shame. I can't see it.
You can't see it. Team Lanigan.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, yeah. Like the Team Conan. Yeah, that's funny.
And you've got the right
color
hair and
everything. I think JD did that.
Who did that?
I think JD in the chat room did that.
There you go, mate. They love you, buddy. They love you. You're a cult hero.
You are very popular, Eric.
There you go. See, that's nice. Nice stuff floats, mate. Not the other stuff. The week in tech. The week in tech. Where do we want to start? We've got HP have finally realised that Captain Ahab is at the helm and they've got rid of him and got someone else in. And Facebook have got something really worrying going on that I know nothing about and has just come out today, but James has got the lowdown on that, so he's going to fill us in on it. And also then we've got US net neutrality. You will have net neutrality in the US on the 20th of November, allegedly. 3-2 vote at the FCC. Where should we start then? Should we do the Facebook thing? James, you want to take us through what's actually happened with Facebook today?
It was, yes. I was looking at the Guardian live blog of the event F8, which I'm still not entirely sure what the 8 in F8 stands for, but I'm sure it's good.
7.
Yes, possibly was. Well, it's like
I actually looked it up on Wikipedia. At least according to Wikipedia, the F8 is because in the early days of Facebook, their whatever announcements they would make were followed by, and actually the main event was some kind of like 8-hour hackathon.
Oh, right.
I see. So it was to stimulate people's developers.
According to Wikipedia.
It is their developers.
Well, I mean, allegedly, the chief executive of Spotify is going to be there, isn't he, as well, this week, talking?
A lot of people have been there. Yeah. And basically, they've changed. Basically, they started off wanting the Facebook to be the social graph. There's all this not mentioned of graphs and social graphs. They've changed that to be the open graph now. So the main paradigm shift is from instead of liking something, you do something and post it on Facebook, and it becomes part of your Facebook experience. So your whole life is being, if you like, journaled by Facebook. And it links in from all kinds of places. From every if you read an article on a News International website, you click on an article, it can put it on Facebook for you. The ones I've noted down are the ones that really worry me, like Yahoo have signed up for this, News Corp, as I've mentioned, Ticketmaster. Can you imagine? So you buy a ticket at an overinflated price and immediately it comes up to Facebook saying, yes, I've bought some tickets and you're not coming with me. But also, as you said, there's a huge number of media companies like the Spotify's of this world, RDO, Love, iHeartRadio, and even those the ones who do films. I can never remember the blessed names of them.
Netflix
are doing it as well. So if you consume any media, it goes into your open graph. And what happens then is Facebook munges it all up, sticks it on your Facebook page, and it appears in your news feed, designed to be mixed up so that people are in, the interesting stuff is what people have read. And of course, the first stage of that this week, which people have been absolutely bitching about, is that they've revamped the whole thing. So you only get what they think is interesting to you. It's almost like the Apple world that, well, they'll present to you what they believe you should do. And people can't see what the stuff beneath the headlines are. So yes, if there's a load of things, if there are a bunch of posts with a lot of comments on them, they'll appear at the top. But if somebody they care about but doesn't post very often writes something, that's it, gone. They never get to see it. And it's all a complete, I wouldn't say complete mess, but it's changed violently, and it's going to continue to do so and become more so. And I think if people, it's basically intended for the lowest common denominator. It's for people who just use Facebook to socialize and play with their app. So as soon as they play a word in Words with Friends or Scrabble, it pops up on their feed as having been done. And it's just like, it's going to be bloody noise constantly, but it's going to be filtered down by what Facebook believes you're interested in. So I think actually for the 500 million people who used Facebook in the last week, it's probably a really good thing. But for us geeks who just think this is just going to be crap, we're looking at it and going, I wonder if Google Plus is a slightly better option now.
So is this, there was a thing, that I can't remember the name of it, where they posted out everything that you went and purchased. If you bought anything via website or Amazon or via...
Facebook Beacon.
That was it, Beacon.
It's a more friendly version of beacons because you can turn
Well, let's be fair, Beacon was Attila the Hun, though.
Absolutely, I mean, yes. You know, it's kind of, yeah.
Now, James, I haven't gotten to take a look at this yet for the media sharing part, but the first thing that comes to my mind is there's like, what, if you count TV watching hours, some people watch supposedly like 8 hours a day. You go to see a movie every day, multiply that by all the friends that you have. I mean, you're how many millions of these messages of I'm watching this, I'm watching this, I'm listening to this, I'm listening to this song, now this song, now this song, now this song. Is that just going to be your entire day now of hearing people what they're listening to and watching, consuming what every article they're reading at every moment of the day?
Well, that's exactly the point, Eric, because, and this is the critical bit, someone's got to make money out of this. And so what they're going to do is they're going to focus on the stuff they can make money out of and put them to the fore. And so obviously you've got these subscription things of Spotify. So it's like, if you like the model they've tried to choose is, it used to be the case where if you had a great 7-inch single, you'd lend it to your mates or sort of give them a cassette of stuff they used to share. That's what they want to do with Facebook, but they don't just want to do it with music. They want to do it with every kind of media as well. So they want you to subscribe to a service and then share that experience of that service on Facebook. And so the service provider gets more subscriptions as a result, and Facebook gets a huge amount of stuff that can be aggregated and slotted into people's experiences. So as you're absolutely right, sure. If somebody consumes a load of stuff, they're going to be spewing it into there. But then again, Facebook's already like that. Surely, if you look down, certainly before this week, before they started changing it, or if you had more than like 250, 300 friends, you scroll down, there's so much crap in there.
Yeah.
So James, when they were talking about this, did they address specifically the issue of sharing overload?
It didn't really go into any depth as of the sharing overload. And I think that's probably part of the analysis afterwards. And I don't think they're going to go up on the stage and say, actually, this is going to be a bit much for you. Better be careful. I think they've probably got ways to deal with that. I haven't really touched on that yet. But what they're going to be doing is they're going to be giving the developers the opportunity to have a bit of a fiddle with it first and going to be ramping it up slowly. And so it's probably like a frog in a kettle kind of thing where people aren't really going to realize, but their sharing is going to go up like that and they're not going to notice until it's just going to be, they're going to get used to it.
They're just going to wake up one day and say, hey, can I just say something there, guys?
Go on, sir.
Go on.
I think that is the essence of why it might not work. Because when people start realizing that it's sharing stuff that maybe they don't want to share, that's when they're going to really start thinking, do we want to use Facebook?
Well, I mean, Ian's posted a link in the chat room here that's Facebook timeline. Now, is that all or part of what you're talking about, James?
Yeah, is that the same thing?
Yes, that's right. The Facebook timeline. I mean, basically, it said they've put a lot of work into crunching your data to make sure your timeline is populated with stuff that is genuinely meaningful to you. And it is this aggregation process, which I think, if it's delivered correctly and it is well focused to people, and it's almost like your TiVo, where you click your thumbs up to stuff you like and your thumbs down to stuff you don't. It fine tunes what arrives on your Facebook page, but I still think that what it will do is it will leave out in the cold people who you might want to hear. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work and if it's going to work, because I stopped using Facebook because the stuff that appeared on my feed wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, most of the thing about this is that, I don't know about everybody else, but the content that goes on Facebook on my profile is stuff I choose to post where I choose to comment. If you start to lose control of that and Facebook are actually aggregating it in a way that maybe either benefits them or the way that they actually think works, I think it starts to lose some of its value and the users losing some of the control over the information they're posting, which certainly from my point of view would worry me quite a bit.
Let's boil it back to basics. Why are people on Facebook and not MySpace?
Because it's a lot cleaner.
Right, so it's a better UI.
Yeah, Facebook is better than
MySpace. And more of their friends are there. So more of the people that they want to talk to, who they knew from school and who they currently have in their social life, are there. So it's the better meeting place for everybody. And what you're now saying is there's a toll for it.
Yeah, well, it's not so much there's a toll for it, but they've moved on, because previously, even in the last week, it's changed. They've moved, they've adopted some of the knowledge they've got from what Google Plus has done, and they've arranged, rather than having everybody, be it from the person you went to school with, to the guy you work with, to your mum, you can separate them into different sort of sections and feeds, and you get to choose how you organise those. And I dare say, Sarah, you've got a group of people who talk about tech stuff, and you've got maybe your family and things, and you don't want to mix them up, and you certainly don't want to bore your family with tech stuff.
Are we talking circles and by any chance?
That's exactly what's appropriate.
That's what Facebook have done over the last week, and this is an extension to that. So it fine-tunes all the stuff. Because at the moment, I imagine, once you've divided it down into your different interest areas, there's not a huge amount of traffic unless it's posted. Once all this feeding in from other aggregated sources, be it Yahoo, be it Ticketmaster, be it Netflix, be it Spotify, and all you're doing is within your Facebook system, you're playing. I know for a fact that the demonstration had Spotify playing actually on Facebook rather than spawning another window or spawning a piece of software. So it was actually within Facebook. If you play a track, it logs it on your feed. And anybody who's interested in your musical tastes will have that appearing in their feed. So it's that kind of thing they're trying to do.
So basically, you go for a run. If you've got a running application that's affiliated, it will log your run.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go
Nike's
out to the
been
day
mentioned as well.
And it goes to a place where there's a GPS located application that will send it back, people will know exactly where you are and where you are and when you're there.
You know,
go ahead, Eric.
Sorry, it sounds like they're generating a whole new type of noise, of advertising noise. I mean, all these features sound like more of exactly the reason that I spend so little time on Facebook. I can't, and even Twitter, I can't stand to see what people are doing every couple of seconds. I'm easily distracted, and frankly, I've got a lot going on myself, so I don't need to see every article that everyone's reading or what sandwich they ate every 10 seconds. I especially don't need to see what music they're listening to every 2.5 minute interval. And it's interesting because advertisers and marketers have talked for decades about the presence of noise. How do you cut through the noise? You know, like the problem of like, how do you make someone notice your billboard in Times Square? You know, so they're creating a whole new style of noise that's not coming from the companies themselves, but from its user generated noise. It's sort of like noisy advertising that no one even requested.
But they're tuning the noise to make it into almost a pleasant sound. That's the trick they're trying to pull. And if they pull it off, the people who rely on Facebook and who love Facebook, I think it's going to give it a new lease of life. It's going to give it that spike it needs. Because at the moment, Facebook ain't doing anything. You know, they've tried to integrate Skype with it, and I don't think people are using Skype with it. They've done all these clever... And Spotify, I think, may be one of the big selling features, because if they turn Spotify into a full-on social engagement thing. You know, it's almost like back in the days of when Last.fm was started, the scrobbling was the really cool thing you could do because you could get graphs of how much music you listened to and share that with other people. This is kind of like the punter's end of that, where Spotify is your social, it's the open graph. It's part of the way you interact with the internet. And what it's going to do, if anything, it's going to make Facebook an all-in-one internet. And it's going to be the only point that some, and it will happen. It will be the only point where people look on the internet.
How long before the
it will be some people's internet?
How long before the antitrust inquiries start there?
Well, I think why so?
It ought to be. I mean, it gets so many people who are having a dip at the pie with Facebook making money off the back. It's got to be.
I mean, I think the thing with things like Google and so on is they give an awful lot of stuff away to us to use for free of charge, and we kind of accept that there's a price that you pay with that, in that you're going to get priority searches back, you're going to get sponsored link returns on your searches. But even some of the stuff that they do where the geolocation stuff potentially comes into it, and we were talking the other week about the restaurant thing, you know, we kind of accept that we know that the advertising goes with that territory, but this is dressing it up as being something that's a social service, when actually we want to know where you are, when you are, how you are, what you're doing, what you're buying. It's social profiling to the nth degree.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's what all these systems, all these sites are beginning to become. I've tried to find ways of making money out of this.
If Sarah's getting frustrated that we can't hear her, it's because we can't hear her.
Oh, no.
That seems logical.
I can hear a little bit of sort of clicky noises.
Well, while Ewan's trying to solve that, I'll just mention that it seems it's a lot like Google Wallet. I mean, this is the space to be in. It's how to monetize every aspect of every person's life. Micro, it's like micro. You've heard of micro payments or micromanagement. This is micro monetization. It's every little thing that they do, every single decision that they ever make to throughout the day, broadcast to everybody and sent back to the advertisers to then use in turn for marketing to them and to others like them, and so on and so forth.
But if you consider what Zynga, if you consider what Zynga has made out of Facebook, there is a market for it. It's shooting fish in a barrel.
Sarah, just give us a sound check.
Hey, James, you had said that you said that they've made the noise almost listenable or almost harmonious or something. What did you mean by that? What are they doing to make it so?
It's the aggregation of it. All I read was, let me just get the quote. He's saying things like, we exist at the intersection between technology and social issues, and we spend a lot of time thinking about both. It's just kind of like
Is it just a promise that they're saying? Like, I wasn't sure if you saw something that made you jump to that conclusion, or is it just that they're now paying lip service to not having that much noise?
They are already doing it. The point I'm making is with these with the things that people are complaining about this week with the new look Facebook, it is only displaying the stuff that Facebook believes you're interested in. There is a hell of a lot more stuff. It's almost like a further extension. Do you know they recently changed from most recent to top stories? And the most recent just gave you a list of everything everybody posted. And the top stories gave you the things that most, if for example, you click on your sister's profile most often because you're in, you know, you get on really well with your sister and want to find out what your godchildren are doing, her Facebook page, her Facebook post will always have prominence, rather than being everything. And they're just making it more of that so that people in your social graph, people in your social, the social circles, which you're most interested in, are getting, for example, if you're not interested in films, because I'm not interested in films, I would hope that it won't be telling me what films people are watching, because I'm not interested in it.
So it's almost,
I don't know how they're going
to
do that though.
It's almost as if you walk into Times Square and instead of seeing just thousands of billboards flashing everywhere with just random, you know, Samsung, Coca-Cola, Chevrolet, I mean, just everything. Instead, it's just like you walk in and it's just like thousands of billboards of your friends and family yelling things at you, you know, tweeting things, just saying just random crap. It's people you know, it's people that are closer to your area of interest, maybe even products and brands that you like, you know, Apple will be up there. But yep. Still, it seems awfully noisy.
That's still no different. It's no different to what we've got now. It isn't. If you look on Facebook now, that's what it says. That's what it is. All it's doing is it's putting these brands in to unify the approach of it. And yes, people will share a YouTube video on there, but what it'll do is it will cause more people to share because they're doing... And that was the whole point of the like button, wasn't it, Eric? You know, the like button was put on site so people could automatically post to Facebook when they like a particular thing. People didn't really want to go an extra stage and click an extra button to like stuff. Simply visiting the page will do that now.
Well, this is like
Facebook wanted to do that for all this time.
Yeah. Well, he's wanted all your details for a long time as well. You know, Zuckerberg has wanted an awful lot of details for an awful long time about a lot of people because that's where the power comes. The information is in the understanding what you do, where you go, how you spend, what you buy, and how you live your life.
Yeah, and they long and overdue need to monetize this.
And Sarah's back.
You're back. Hooray.
Excellent. The wiggling of the wires did the wonderful thing.
Did you? Yeah. I mean, they long need to monetize it. They've got this huge capitalization and a huge number of user base, but, you know, they're not really doing much with the information at the moment. So
well, this has
they
always
really
been
need
my,
to do something.
This has always been my rant about Facebook is, you know, they say that the Facebook is valued based on investment at $50 billion. Well, I'm sorry, but even on half a billion users, That doesn't equate to the spend that they would need per person to achieve. And let's say, you know, only 20% are actually active each month. You know, registered users compared to active users, I think it's probably an enormous difference between the two. It's monetization dressed up as social interaction. And I really don't want any of you to know when I'm out.
Yeah, that's the whole point. You need to have that control over what gets posted in there. It's, you know, if things starts getting posted that people really don't want to see, they're going to start losing faith in Facebook.
It does look like it's a subscription, though. You've got to actually sign up to let them do this rather than be something you're automatically enrolled in.
That'll go then.
Yes, you're right, but they will wrap it up in a let your friends share it with you. Share it.
Yeah,
make your friends aware of what you're doing.
I mean, there's a good point in the chat room from X-Pun saying, humans are creatures of habit. So when you start changing things, they're going to run a mile from that because they don't like the change. The resistance to change is huge within us. And he's
we like to call that the Google effect.
Facebook is killing itself off.
It could go one way or another. This is their big. This is them betting the farm. I think is it betting the farm the right phrase?
Betting the farm, yes. So the other big acid test this week was that Google Plus went live to everybody. So anybody now can sign up at all for a Google Plus account. What do we think to that one? Is that, I mean, this is real acid test time for them, isn't it? If no one signs up, everyone that ever wanted a Google account has already got one.
Yeah, and found a way of getting one.
It's all going to be quite quiet there, isn't it?
And they'll sign
in. It's going to be quiet. Actually, I signed up for the first time this week. I hadn't bothered up to now, and I thought, oh, it's there. All right, go on then. I'll log my Google account into it.
Have we all got Google Plus accounts?
Yes.
Yep. Eric? But you've got one because you feel you should.
True. Yeah, just like Facebook, I don't really use it that much.
So is Google Plus the geeks hangout as opposed to Facebook?
And it may become more
well,
so
I'll
as
tell
Facebook
you now,
becomes
okay.
more crap.
Go on,
I'll
Eric.
Tell you one thing that's interesting. Google Plus is clearly where the geeks are there. The geeks are excited. That's the place where there seems to be the most innovation. I think people generally like Google. But, you know, the one thing that Google isn't talking about constantly, which is like all that Facebook's ever talked about for years, practically, has been how they're going to monetize everything. We're going to add this button here and this link to there. I think it's interesting that in this discussion so far about Facebook, I think we've mostly talked about the business side of it and how it will help Facebook Incorporated and how it will help their advertisers and their partners. But is there anything for consumers to like in this or to like anything that Facebook continues to do? Is the innovation consumer side at all or is it entirely on the side of growing the business?
It's about growing the business, I would say, for the Facebook element. With Google Plus, there's a huge social element, but they've always got their half an eye on how can we make money out of it.
And well, no,
wait till they start
no,
putting games on.
Oh, absolutely. I Yeah, I kind of combined two ideas there. Absolutely about Google. But I think my point is just that Google Plus right now seems a little bit, even if it will eventually become monetized, as I'm sure it will. I mean, they have the largest ad platform in the world. So it'll get there eventually. And of course, that's why they're doing it, is to compete with Facebook. But at this point in time, it's a much more pure and clean social talking to people, sharing things, experience. And it's not anywhere near as cluttered as all this, you know, I'm listening to this on Spotify and this on Netflix and on and on and on.
Just one very quick thing. I don't know if we want to finish the subject of Facebook. One thing that just occurred to me that I was reminded of is the fact that, and it was interesting that I was just reading something from Paul, UMSF1. Is that how you pronounce it? Paulums? I don't know. Saying he's all for the Twitter. And I think what one thing that Twitter is missing out on, and Facebook has up till now missed out on, is a historical thing. What were you doing a year ago? What were you doing 6 months ago? And a kind of like a journal of your life, which
you can do
does have value. And Facebook has just started doing that. And one of the things they're going to be really focusing on is putting your life in perspective on their site. And again, what it's trying to do is it's trying to make you live your life in Facebook. And sort of almost sort of nurture you.
I have a big problem with that, because how many, name a web service for me that you've used for more than 2 years consecutively.
Twitter.
The Wayback Machine.
Okay. More than 3 years, 5 years. Not your whole lifetime. Not, you know, you wouldn't go back to AOL's equivalent and pull up your old dial-up account and find where you posted your daily chat log or something.
I tell you one, Eric.
Sorry, what?
I'll tell you what. I've had my website for 12 years.
Well, the website, sure. But I mean, like a service like this, storing it on with a third party.
I've been sending texts for 15 years.
Do you know, I went through a phase of keeping all my texts. That's what a complete waste of time that was. Never looked at them.
I'm not sure if you guys are joking or if I'm not explaining myself clearly.
I know what you mean, Eric.
It's an account thing. It's an account. Right. We don't have a GeoCities. We don't have all this stuff. It just goes away. CompuServe. I mean, I don't trust MySpace, for crying out loud. I don't trust this stuff to be there, especially Facebook, the company who's known for locking your stuff in. And if they do let you get it out, it's usually in some little zip file that nothing can access.
I'm really struggling to think.
Backupify on Twitter. No one here subscribed to Backupify.
No, didn't exist.
Does it back up?
He's awesome.
Does it just back up your timeline or your followers as well? Or the people you follow?
It gives you a breakdown of every tweet that you've sent. And it gives you a breakdown of all the DMs, and it gives you a breakdown of all the people who've messaged you, and it comes every month in a PDF file.
That's my cool thingy for the night.
No, it's mine now.
Well, that's cool, but I mean, I'm not sure if you guys are agreeing or disagreeing with me, because what I'm saying is that that's different. That's a saved record of something that had an inherent function. The tweets were themselves the function. Mm-hmm. Whereas Facebook is saying, make a journal of your life on our site, not make a journal of your life on your own computer or using open source or traditional tools. It's stored on our servers in your account.
You've seen the Google advert. You've seen the advert for Google with the man who writes a letter to his daughter saying, this is your first screen. This is the first time you pooed in the bed, whatever. It's exactly the same thing.
I agree. I hate that commercial for exactly that reason.
just checking to make sure we were talking from the same page.
Yeah,
yes,
I think
good.
What you're saying.
The one thing I would say about that advert, though, is that everything that he created and that he used in that timeline was stuff that Dad created himself.
Mm. Well, I thought you were going to say they were all Google tools, but no, I'm saying
no. It wasn't.
If all he's done
aggregated
is just
content, that's the point.
If he had just typed that, all he did was email. I mean, email
and
attachments.
Photos, emails, all sorts of things. But okay, yes, it was demonstrating Google tools. But the point is that wasn't aggregated content. That was content that he controlled over the timeline while that child grew up.
Right. He didn't control it, though, is my point, because he put it in Gmail. If he had stored it on his local hard drive in folders or in a text document or an RTF or any type of thing like that, he wouldn't be dependent on any company, whereas he is with Google now, this fictional dad.
Yeah, that but it could just as easy be any other storage service. That was the whole point, wasn't it?
Except that you don't need the storage though. You see what I'm saying? Like the whole all his letters to his little girl for her entire life would come up to like a couple hundred megabytes. It's not, you don't need the storage there. Storing a diary and your photographs on one social service or one email service is so arbitrary. And remember, it's not the default behavior. The default human behavior is to make a scrapbook or write it on a piece of paper. Secondly, maybe store it on a computer where it's maybe a little bit more resilient to failure and better for backup. But then putting it on some random server and investing in tagging, you know, geotagging and date and time tagging and adding captions and tags of the people and all this stuff that locks you into that Facebook ecosystem that no matter how good the export tools ever become, will never match the service that they have there that you thought you were investing in.
With all due respect, Eric, you're speaking from the point of view of someone who understands it. Many Facebook users couldn't give a flying monkeys about all that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Probably most people who use Facebook, they're only concerned about the content that they're posting at that moment in time, and probably maybe for a couple of days or maybe even a couple of weeks. After that, most of it becomes irrelevant to most people.
Good conversation. HP have come to their senses over Leah Apotheker, and they've realised that they've got a bit of a nut job at the helm, and they've got rid of him. And they've got a new CEO. The new CEO is, and I'm trying to find her name. I had it a second
Maria
ago.
Meg Whitman.
She's the ex-CEO of
eBay.
eBay, thank you. I had that as well.
Sorry. And she just ran for governor.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a big thing. She was, she was like the second, the runner up. But yeah, she lost pretty badly.
Well, now here's the thing that really is quite disgraceful about all of this is that one of the HB board members has confessed that they were unaware of Apotheker. They never met him prior to appointing him as CEO. They were too bitter and twisted and upset about the whole thing with Mark Hurd. And they said, I admit it was highly unusual. One board member who said he hadn't met Mr. Apotheker, and he said, we were just too exhausted from all the...
This was a rebound relationship.
It was. It most definitely was, according to this. What's the... if Meg Whitman's failed governor... at eBay, I friggin' hate eBay when it comes down to customer service and that kind of stuff. I think they're bloody awful. Is she the right woman for the job, or is this another horrific leap?
Equipment, as far as I know, actually made eBay successful. She took it from being fairly small to being fairly to the giant and behemoth it is now.
Right.
So potentially. Potentially.
Do you mean behemoth or mess?
Well, depends on whether you like eBay or not. I quite like eBay, so.
Buying cheap stuff from China ain't hard on it, but...
Actually, the best customer service you get is from the Chinese sellers. The rest of the time, all you get is physical and verbal abuse.
We could expect that from HP soon,
Are we going to see the pre come back, and are we going to see the touchpad come back? Was this Leo said, actually, do you know what, fellas? I think I've had enough. I want to quit. And they said, don't do that. Tell you what we'll do. We'll bring out a brand new tablet. Then you can say that we're going to run away from it, and we'll sell it really cheap, and loads of people buy it, and it'll go to 5 times its value on eBay. And then we'll get the girl in who ran eBay. That'd be cool. Because she can then come in, because there's the serendipity of the two things. And we can say, no, actually, HP touchpad, blinding platform. Everyone who's got it says it. So, let's get a few more million made and get it out there, and let's get the pre back in there. Or was this guy just a bit of a loon?
I don't think they know what they're doing.
I've got no idea what they're doing.
This is another shot in the dark.
Well, I think it is because they're also saying, we might not sell the PC business now. Well, that might not be a good idea. If no one gives us the right money, we'll just keep it and run it. It'll be all right. And so that was news today. They just said as someone said, we just decided not to screw our share price for a laugh.
Sarah, if you don't, you mute off, you can make that point.
I was going to say that I think that the point there is the fact that maybe the statement, we might not sell the PC business, was a retrospective statement. Once they realised what a bad decision it was, before they actually to keep their options open.
They listened to us
when they got the new CEO.
Yeah.
they actually...
Well, it just makes no sense because they brought in that guy, they brought in him, Apotheker, to change, to remold the company in his image. He was a enterprise software guy, from what I understand, and that's why he, you know, wanted to cut away the hardware side of the business and buy... what was that company called for $12 billion that's probably going to go through? And a foreign company.
Firm, yeah.
Yeah. And it's complete, you know, it's enterprise. It's this crazily esoteric, like it's database search services or something. Like it's so non-consumer focused that no one even can tell from the outside what HP ever planned to do with it. So it's like if they really brought him in to change the company to be almost a different company, which he started to do clearly with the last few months of announcements, why would they all of a sudden just completely reverse course like this?
Because he was a lone wolf. He was making decisions without other inputs. He was off the rails. No?
Did they ever interview him?
No,
did they ever have a phone call?
Well, it's worse than never interviewed him. They never even went out for lunch with the guy. I mean, it's you know, who have we got? Mark Hurd has left us in the lurch. What should we do? Let's start a fight with Oracle, and then let's get someone in, and he's available. You'll do. He might have been walking past the entry point to the factory or something. Do you know how to be a CEO?
He was working for SAP at the time.
All right, James, it was a joke, mate. I wasn't being serious.
What I'm trying to get, I'm just trying to look at the history of all this. So Meg Whitman was running eBay from 1998 to 2007. That's 4 years ago. It doesn't tell us what she was doing between then and now.
Running for governor.
She's going for political office.
Exactly, and she's got a change of mind. Now I want to start running a company again.
Well, I think the government, voting probably changed it for her, mate.
Yeah.
That's the key point. I'm available.
She's on the board of Goldman Sachs, Procter & Gamble.
Well, she's got a track record.
Oh, well.
I'm not suggesting I'm not suggesting for one second that Meg's not qualified to do it. But
She's already a board member, of course.
But it's this idea of the board, one of the part of the board member that never met Apotheker. So internal appointment to solve the problem, and it's basically, what the hell's this boy doing? Get him out as fast as you can, get someone in place, get the decisions reversed, but try and save a bit of face in the process.
Maybe he really was just some random guy who walked in and sat down in the CEO chair, and then they didn't realize it until it was a couple months down the road, and by then they were too embarrassed to admit it, so they just went along with it.
Yeah, he used to be a cleaner at SAP. That was the thing, and he came in and cleaned and sat down
He was the janitor, yeah.
Yeah, he'd taken his overall.
It was some TV prank show thing that went wrong.
He took off his uniform. He took off his uniform, and he took off his hat, and he sat down and shut his mop down and just was like, oh, I've been working 24 hours. I'm so tired. And they're like, oh, sir, we need your input we need your signature. He's like, oh, okay. And he signed it, and they're like, thank you, Mr. CEO. He's like, just stay here.
And if he hadn't got his peanut butter sandwich off the table fast enough, they might have been onto him, but no.
Interestingly enough, I've just realised she was a non-exec chairman anyway.
Right.
So she would have been heavily involved in this.
I mean, the question that really begs is how much was the decision to run away from the existing businesses a lone decision from Apotheker compared to a board decision? Because, I mean, everything that's happened after this is either the fact that the board has gauged the public response to it and the journalistic response to it and said, oh, hell, what have we done? Or this guy has done it off his own bat, made these announcements, and everyone's gone, what are you talking about? What on earth are you doing?
I think
sounds like a scapegoat to me.
I think the point when they actually realised and the board started to take control was when they said, oh, maybe we won't get out of the PC business. Let's reevaluate before get somebody else in to make the decision before we actually commit ourselves to what we're going to do here.
Whether Apotheker was operating alone without any oversight and did stupid things because of that.
This does sound like an assassination thing, doesn't it?
Or Zach alone under
was
cover
he a
of
long gunman?
Yeah, it does a bit.
Yeah, or because the board just had no idea who he was, just pulled him in off the street. I don't know, just threw a dart at a phone book. Either option still places all the blame on the board, if you ask me. Because if they really didn't know who this guy was, why would they just, what did they do? Go on, hire him and then go on vacation for a year? I mean, why would they not, why would you allow your brand new CEO who's been on the job less than a year to completely gut and change course of the entire company without asking him to maybe run it by them first?
Exactly.
Sorry, I've lost my microphone there. I've gone all quiet. I've plugged it in again. Never mind. Damn, we're slick here. While we're talking about slick, I just thought we've had a couple of nice reviews that have been put on for the network on iTunes, and I'm very grateful. Anyone that's given us a review, please do it. It makes a huge difference to our rankings. Make sure you subscribe to as much as you can and download as much as you can. Thank you ever so much. I know I ask every week, and I ask an awful lot of you all. But it does make a huge difference. But we've had quite a nice review, and then it isn't. I'm just trying to find it. I had it all queued up and I bloody lost it now. Here we go. What I like about this podcast is the real feeling of daring do that accompanies it. Is it as slick as Twit? No. I think it's actually a compliment, but thank you. That was from Orca 1910. And Paul Davis gave us a nice one as well, as and so did Mike Smith. Keep them coming. We need loads and loads of reviews. All the shows in there's one gone up for the video podcast, so please do give us a few of those. That's very kind.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Well, I'll take it. Yeah,
you can write anything.
I mean, you think we're crap, right? Right, you think we're crap. That's fine. I can live with it. You may get a visit one night, but I got big friends, big serious friends. Last thing to discuss then briefly, US is to get net neutrality. The rules have been finalised and it's
I think they're installing it right now.
They are, there they go. The infrastructure's going up. In effect on the 20th of November. Eric, are you excited?
God, no. There's nothing left in this bill. The policy. There's nothing left in it. There's already the frail, dying in a gutter version that is still on, that's now been voted on and approved, still has two lawsuits, one from Verizon, and they're really going after it. Yeah. They mean business. I think AT&T is, I forget what they're doing, but Metro PCS also is doing it. Yeah. And after all that, it's nothing. All it says is that they have to disclose their traffic management practices. So they have to put in their fine print on page 900 that impossible to read or understand language, saying that they're going to throttle you back or degrade the quality of videos you may be trying to watch or whatever. And in the case of wireless, all they have to do is disclose and then not block anything outright. They can still do all the traffic handling that they choose. So it really is not, it's barely net neutrality by anyone's definition.
Yeah, I mean, it says, secondly, no blocking or...
But yay!
Yeah. It says, no blocking of fixed broadband providers may not block lawful content, application services, or non-harmful devices. But it says that they can carry on, presumably, packet shaping and throttling then from that point. It's just the blocking of, as long as it's lawful. Rest of America, I mean, is this something that... They've really missed the opportunity to do something decent. And what they should have done is, if they knew they weren't going to do it, they should have backed away from it entirely. Because what you've actually set in stone here is actually something made out of plastic that's going to melt in the sun.
Right. So here's what happens around here in these parts. So when the FCC got ready to talk about net neutrality, they were worried that they couldn't do it because they would try to say something, which they did eventually last year, at the end of last year. That's when these rules came out finally. And when they came out, they looked surprisingly almost exactly like what Google and Verizon jointly submitted to them as a proposal a few months earlier, which was to say no throttling unfairly on wireline broadband, but cellular, wireless, 3G, 4G, free reign, just disclose and no outright blocking.
I remember that, yeah.
So that was that was when people said, oh my God, Google, what are you doing? You were the net neutrality champions. Now you're siding with Verizon to push your Android phone on their platform. I mean, this was a speculation. You know, Google turned evil right then. And they had a bunch of weak excuses, but it's a big blemish on Google still. But then when the FCC came out with their net neutrality rules, finally, at the end of 2010, they intentionally modeled a lot of it after that Verizon and Google proposal in order to win the favor of Verizon. Because what happens is if they say something that they don't like, that Verizon and AT&T doesn't like, they will sue them. And they will throw their billions and billions of dollars and best lawyers in the world at this tiny little government office that really can't defend themselves like that in order to get it thrown out. And so Google and so the FCC rather did that. They caved into Verizon to try to win their favor. And then during that negotiation process that occurred after that, I think the rumor, or it was for some reason, people said they talked with AT&T and tried to almost cut a deal with AT&T. The backroom negotiations saying, okay, AT&T, well, if we say this or that, will you agree not to sue? Okay. And then they sued him anyway. And now Verizon's suing them anyway. So they caved in so much on the principles of net neutrality in order to appease these companies who are just ended up suing them and trying to get rid of the rules anyway.
I mean, I think it's important to note that this new net neutrality bill is clearly it with the people for whom it is clearly not there for are the public. It's the mobile phone providers. It's the content providers. It's people who have a stake in controlling the government to get them to do what they want. And that's been evident from what you've just been saying, Eric.
But I think that's exactly
how can they wrap it up as doing anything else?
Of what's wrong with government is that government wants to pass something which is for the people, but then the companies, as part of that group of people, wants to shape it. And because they've got more money, they lobbyists then get in, and then the lawsuits get filed and things get shaped into something that they absolutely aren't. Point here in the chat room from X-Pun, the golden age of internet is over in the US, and you're never going to go back to it, because the people that are in power now won't let you, because you've got this thing where they've beaten them back once. They won't have the power or the finance to come forwards and take this on again, perhaps.
By the way, we also have a very pro-business Supreme Court right now. And so when the FCC challenges like that usually escalate to the Supreme Court. And I think they know that in this climate and the judges that are there now, if they were to sue, I think there's a very, very strong likelihood that Verizon's lawsuit or anyone else's, AT&T's, if they do one again, could have these watered down 10% effective, meager little net neutrality rules determined to be illegal and thrown out after all that.
But I mean, Obama and Britain as well, in the same strength, want people to have jobs. And if all the people are going to have jobs, then those corporations have got to win at things. And if they're not winning at things, then they all disappear and the jobs don't happen. And then the economic recovery doesn't happen and all that kind of stuff. So I can see where that's all tied in. If you're a large firm, they want to look after you.
Yeah, it seems to be. I don't know if you've noticed, the UK's also got some more rulings going through this week in the courts here. With after the news bin thing, most of the UK ISPs are also talking about restricting access to websites based on similar principles.
Well, we've got the Digital Economy Act, which is a really horrifically thought out piece of legislation that was pushed through by an unelected person within the government, and it was done at the last minute prior to the change of the last failing government. While they were counting the 2 pence that they'd managed to leave in the treasury. So it's a horrific piece of legislation. I mean, net neutrality is a million miles away for us here in the UK. I mean, you're 10 times closer with this, and this is crap.
Yes.
Well, remember though, you don't really need it like we need it. And you're much farther along than we are in terms of like broadband policies and pricing, because you have umpteen providers, whereas we usually have one, maybe two coming to our house.
I think that's a serious issue for you guys going forward.
I mean, that's the only reason we need it. And that, you know, we've gotten so far, not us here, but I mean, as a country, in the argument about net neutrality, so far away from what it was supposed to be, that by the time that we now finally have it, it barely resembles the concept of net neutrality, which itself was only ever thought of and only really has a lot of relevance in this country because of the way the FCC works and the telcos here, because we have no ISP competition in broadband. If there were just competition, there'd be no need for net neutrality, because they're throttling you. Okay, I'll go to provider number 20. You know, that's the only reason we need that. And so it's now so far from that that it does zero to improve a competition or to mandatory opening sharing.
Eric, the thing is, we actually have that more deregulated environment in the UK. But as Ewan said, we're not anywhere near net neutrality either.
Yeah, I mean, we've got competition, competition is not net neutrality.
And actually, but it's competition on the same lines, though.
Yeah, but actually, and also, if you look at it as well, apart from Virgin Media, everyone else is using British Telecom phone lines to get their internet anyway. So there's still a bottleneck around those. And if I come off Virgin Media because I'm upset with them and go back to British Telecom, I have to, or go to any other provider that I want to choose on the market, the first thing I have to do is go back to British Telecom and reinstall a phone line to my house at a cost of £150. Then I can go and look for a new provider in an open market. Without buying that line from them, I can't.
Is that going to be the same when LTE comes in, though, Ewan?
Well, I mean, will LTE come in here? I mean, you've had the launch of the AT&T LTE, haven't you, this week in the US, and you've got less than 3% of the population's now exposed to it in four locations. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Will you see it in the UK?
Or rather, could you get your broadband through HSDPA? I guess the point I'm making. You can get a reasonably good deal on a 3G dongle these days. Well, you don't really necessarily need a BT landline, is all I'm saying, I guess.
No, I mean, when I've had a problem, and I don't get a lot of problems with Virgin Media, but when I've had a problem, I've used my 3 dongle in here, and I've got decent reception, and I've pumped out, and I've had 6.8 megabits per second down, which is very respectable. Thank you
Not
very much.
Not bad at all.
That's good in a big city, because normally it gets up. Absolutely flooded.
Yeah, so I'm very happy with it. It's not an issue, but... the one thing that struck me was I remember looking years and years and years ago, and there was a big story about 3G was coming to the UK. This was the big change, get away from the standard GSM network stuff and get up towards HSDPA. And there was an educational bus that was going around, and all the computers on the bus were being powered off one Nokia cell phone that was on 3G. And it was absolutely brilliant. And I never saw a 3G phone on the market for another 2 years after that. And that was in the UK, there was the service just was not available unless you went to pay through the nose for it. And that's the thing that bothers me now with LTE. Yes, the technology's here. Yes, the handsets will come out. But the deals that you're going to get centered around that, I think, are going to be horrific.
Well, so I think Amaldor in the chat room mentioned WiMAX as well, which is a kind of very similar structure, isn't it? Mm. Still very isolated.
So clearly there are a lot of subtleties to the UK telecommunications policies that I don't know. But I, in general, though, what you were describing, you do have far more choice in ISPs. I mean, I literally have one to my apartment that I could ever conceivably use. If I wanted AT&T, the only other one on DSL, because Comcast is cable, it'd be 700 kilobits down is maximum. So I have one provider, and there's no one shares that Comcast line. There's no, I can't like call up Earthlink and say, get on this cable network like there used to be. They got rid of that in about 2002. So no one shares these lines anymore.
You need competition, and we need infrastructure.
Nice. Yeah, that's one benefit we do have over the US.
My pick of the week is my 3 dongle, because I've just found out from Mike in the chat room, he gets 1 megabit a second on his fixed broadband line, and I've had 6.8. I've had 6.8 out of this on speedtest.net. 3 MiFi dongle. It's the best thing since sliced bread. Love it to bits. You get 15 gigabytes of data transfer for £20 a month. There you go. I absolutely adore that. But it's not my pick of the week.
That's a little Wi-Fi hotspot one, isn't it?
Yeah, you just get a little MiFi, and it creates a little Wi-Fi hotspot. You pair all your devices to it, just like a normal Wi-Fi, and away you go. I get my phone. And the other things as well, when you've got this running, is that you can use the remote application on your iPhone to control PowerPoint slides or those kind of things as well.
Yeah, I've got the same sort of thing with my phone, because it can be tethered. I can use it as a tethering device, so it's effectively a MiFi as well.
Drummer says he gets that as well, but he doesn't want to dig up the drive to get Virgin Fibre. Small price to pay, dude, for fast internet. I'd do it. Mm. Right. Where can we get a hold of you? We haven't finished yet, have we? The sponsors that we've got, UK2.net, they are the people that are really, really coming into their own in the last couple of weeks. We've already done more than double the amount of data off the server that we did last month with audio alone, now that we've got the video on. We are taking the mickey extremely here. So We are appealing to you to please support them, because they support us and they really are supporting us this month. Go to uk2.net via our website, bageltechnews.com, click on the logo, go through, and please, 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 if you've got any internet service stuff that you want to buy a domain name, you want a VPS server, you want anything like that, please, please, please use uk2.net via our click through on the website. If you do buy from then there's some great news. You go to our website and you scroll down and you'll find the uk2.net logo there. You click on that and you'll get through to their stuff and they'll know that we sent you. You've also got an opportunity to win. If you click the logo below, then all you've got to do is register your email address and put the answer to a very simple question that you can get the answer to by clicking the logo above, and you could win a Nintendo 3DS. It's open to anyone at all. If you click it and you enter the competition, you're then entered and they will pick a winner from it. Please enter the competition, because again, it shows that you guys care, that they are supporting us so heavily. If they don't make money from us and they walked away, then these podcasts wouldn't be free, or they wouldn't exist at all. We'd just end up having to fold. We are totally tied in with UK2 and we love them. If you do buy anything from them, use the offer code BAGELTECH and you get 15% off. If you're transferring in a domain, then make sure you use the other offer code as well, as which is BAGELDNS, and that'll remove the DNS management charge that comes along with transferring stuff in as well. So you get both, benefits there. Please support UK2. We're stumped without their support. We love them. Thank you, Craig. Right, cool thingies. James, do you have a cool thingy for us?
I have a cool thingy. It comes with a very brief story. We've been having serious trouble with our router. Well, we've been having serious trouble with our internet in recent times. And so's my dad, and so's my brother. And one of the similarities we've all got is we've all got a Linksys WRT54G router, and we've all got Virgin Media. And there's a problem with the fact that this old router is, I have a funny feeling, it's the fact that we're running 10 meg into the router, and the router just can't handle the amount of data traffic that's coming to our, you know, our iPod touches and our Android phones and all our computers. And so I'm in the market for a new router, and one of my colleagues at work suggested the Draytech Vigor 2830N, which is absolutely amazing. It's rock solid. The problem is it's 203 quid. You can probably get it for around about 203 quid on Amazon. But apparently it's got everything you could possibly need from a router, including three little aerials. So all I've got to do now is persuade my wife.
And the three little aerials make it an important difference.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Makes it go further. I've got to persuade my wife that we want one of these, not one from 18 quid off eBay. But this thing's got VPNs, it's got DMZs. It can handle up to, I think it's 50 megabits down the WAN port. And the fact that it quotes how much it can handle down the WAN port means quite a lot, because with data rates getting faster and faster, I think Virgin Media, what's your data rate now, Ewan?
I've got 100 megabits a second.
You must have a fairly pokey router to be able to deal with that.
Well, the 100 meg service comes with the Super Hub, which is their own router that's made for them by Netgear. And it's there are some idiosyncrasies with it that I've been complaining about it for the last couple of weeks. And Virgin Media have been saying, no, it's your switch and we can't support your switch. It's a third party device. And I'm like, no, it can't be my switch, because I was getting 50 off your 50 service and now I'm not. I'm getting 40 off your 100 service. That's ridiculous, and I have to go through a router. And it turned out to be an idiosyncratic problem with the hub, where it actually started applying to a false DNS. So that's why I wasn't getting net. I was getting internal network, but I wasn't getting an external network from it. But now I've got that sorted, and they've given me the correct DNS to manually put into the computers. It's flying, and I'm hitting 94 megabits a second consistently. And 10 up.
It's definitely worth looking into replacing your router if you're starting to get trouble with it. That's all I'd say, because internet speeds are getting so much quicker. They really are. You need something to be able to deal with it all.
Man, routers with DMZ. I had no idea your technology over there was so different from mine.
Yeah, we got inside toilets.
No, I've got over here routers with DMZ.
Yeah, I mean, I've got several routers. They've all got DMZ capabilities.
Oh,
I'm making fun of how we pronounce things differently.
Yeah,
DMZ.
Exactly. It's
I've never heard anyone say DMZ before. And you guys see
DMZ.
Routers
with DMZ, routers with DMZ. I see. Yes, of course. Because to us, a router is something that that carves wood.
Wait, what?
Oh,
a router is something that carves wood.
Or a rout is something when a football team score 15 goals or something like that.
Right, here we go. So we would say router.
We don't even have that definition.
No, if you went on a route to go somewhere, it would be R-O-U-T-E, the same as you'd spell it, but we'd pronounce root, whereas you'd say route.
It's one of those things in England.
Yeah.
And you know why that is? It's because we tried to get in bed with the French. We wanted to charm the French, so we adopted a lot of French things. That's why colour has got an O-U. It's why we say autumn instead of fall, and it's why we say root instead of route. There you go.
When? What century was this?
Centre, the Americans words like that right. Pronounce R-E rather than E-R.
There you go. The Americans climbed in bed with the French. They turned on us, and that's why the Americans drive on the wrong side of the road as well. Thanks to Napoleon. And it was before that anyway.
So you go, a lesson in culture as well as an interesting thing about routers.
I just want to be clear here, James. Your pick of the week is a router that you haven't bought.
It's a router that I want to buy if I can get my wife to let me pay for it.
Okay. £260.21 on Amazon at the moment.
I'm not. It's £203.78. It's the, I'll put a link in the chat room. But you can get it on on somewhere like Misco for £170.
What's the
issue? It's good. Buy one.
What's the issue? What? I think she's being unreasonable, mate.
Yeah, it's future-proofing your internet connection.
Future-proofing.
that's exactly what I said.
I'm sure the word future-proofing will go down well with James's wife, mate.
At last count, I think we had 24 wireless devices connected to the bloody network, or IP devices connected to the network. So many bits of kit. When you've got two kids, and they've got an iPod Touch, they've got a computer, you've got a Blu-ray player that connects to the bloody internet now, which can do YouTube videos. You need something that can do it.
Wait, we've got to stop you. Wait, piece of kit. I've heard you guys say that a lot. And I mean, not just you, but all you people on that side over there in that area.
You foreigners.
Over there. We don't have that expression there. What does that mean? A piece of kit.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bagel Talk Divide.
Across the pond.
And don't get me started on Lyft.
Lit. It's another word for device. If we can use four words to describe something rather than just one, we will.
It's a very engineering term to say, what's a nice bit of kit. Yeah.
What
did you say? Don't get started on lip.
Oh, lift. I was just thinking just some other...
As opposed to elevator. Yeah, jolly good.
This is becoming Bagel Tech Translation.
Ian, have you got anything in transatlantic English that you can have as a cool thing? You'd stop the conversations on idiosyncratic voice.
Home plugs.
Home plugs.
Well, so take it carried on with the networking thing. This connection here we're talking over tonight is using home plugs, which is a nifty little thing if no one's heard of it. It's like a plug that plugs into the wall. It's got a network port in it.
Yep.
You put two in, one in your router and one in the other end, and it extends your network around your home. Places like facultyx.net is a great place in the UK to buy them from. And they're really, really versatile little tools to put a network in a room where your Wi-Fi will not reach or where... You need a bit better connection. Like I'm sat in the dining room, which is maybe a little bit echoey. And I use one of those to get a connection straight from my router upstairs.
Yeah.
Interesting question, Ian.
Yeah.
Do they have to be on the same ring?
Yes.
So if you've got one upstairs, one downstairs, and they're on two separate circuits, that won't work?
No, they will work. As long as it's in the same ring main.
Okay.
So as long as it's on this side of the meter, basically.
Sure.
So, I mean, I've even stuck one in the garage once to try something out, and that worked perfectly.
Wow.
Very good. The prices are from £14.99 up to £109, including VAT.
For most applications, the 85 megabit ones are pretty sound, and they're buttons at the moment. You can get a pair for like £30.
Yeah, twin pack, £30.42, excluding VAT.
Yeah, they've come down in price. I remember when they first came out, they were about £100.
Yeah, they were in the hundreds. And we used one to connect my lad's Xbox to the router as well, and that gives him sort of unbounceable connection. He doesn't get any timeouts, he doesn't get any lag compared to when he was using Wi-Fi. It's just 10 times better. Been using them for years. Garrett, I can recommend them highly.
Excellent pick. Jolly good. And actually, what's interesting is when I Googled them, Faculty X was the first company that came back with them. So,
yeah, it's quite a good company. They seem they've got such a range of the things. It's brilliant. There's been like the Wi-Fi repeaters as well.
Very good. Sarah, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
After last week's, where mine was, I got a lot of compliments for the thing. And this is completely geeky. And I apologise for that, but okay. I have to give VMware some credit here. I've had a lot of problems because, you know, I use Ubuntu. I've had some problems with VMware Workstation in the past, getting it to work when you upgrade it. Every time you do all sorts of kernel patches and stuff, it messes it up. And I purchased the new version of Workstation, or an upgrade to it, on Friday when I was testing Windows 8. And I have to say, this is dramatic improvement. It works completely smoothly, does exactly what it's supposed to do. No issues with mouse disappearing and all sorts of things like that that I had before. And I must admit, I was a bit worried considering I was parting with some cash. But I was really impressed with this version. For those of you who don't know, VMware Workstation, or VMware as such, allows you to run many machines on actually a single physical machine. So if you're doing software development like I'm doing and you need a complete machine environment, it is a really useful tool. I do all the BagelTech website development within a VM, and it means I can have a dedicated machine environment for the BagelTech environment, which is really useful. I use it for a number of other projects as well, including for testing Windows 8.
Very good, very good.
I use a similar one as well on the Mac. If anyone's looking for one, if you look at VMware Fusion, version 4 has just been released, and it's equally an excellent product.
Jolly good.
Yes.
Good choice. Eric, have you got a cool thing for us?
I'm just glad you guys were able to put up with me today. I've had like 2 hours of sleep. I'm deliriously tired.
You were.
I'm glad you guys are liking the late night tech show. But I need to like get a treadmill and just like run like 10 miles after the show to wind down, because that's difficult.
Yeah, no, not good at all. So you haven't got anything, is what you're trying to say?
Not at all.
Yeah, good man. I thought so. You should have just said that, dude. You know, it's just...
You disappoint me by even having to ask.
Oh, well, never mind. My pick is the camera security system that's available from ISMS. It's called the Genie 2 system, and it's fantastic. I've had it installed in the house because of a bad event that happened a couple of weeks ago at a friend's house, and also I've had something as well. But that's the current view of my back garden, and... I can remotely access it from the computer, and it looks absolutely great, and it records stuff, and you can go back and see where the wife's fallen over in the garden in the morning. And the other beautiful thing is, when you're out and about on the road, they do an iPhone application for it as well. And it's the mobile version of it, and just quickly... Ooh.
You remember what it's called again?
It's the ISMS Genie 2 camera system. There you go. And there's me looking at my camera live. And it works over 3G as well. You don't actually need a system to a Wi-Fi system to run it off. It obviously saps your data, so do be careful. And it is clearly something to watch out for. But there you go. The current view on my driveway. It's a great little system. Love it. You can get it from, if you're in the UK, then one of our old sponsors, DCS Cabling. Go to dcscabling.co.uk, ask for Carl, tell him Ewan sent you, or you came via BagelTech, and you can buy it. Prices, a four-camera system comes in at just over £1,000, so it's not cheap, fitted, but it's great. It is a fantastic, and all the software is free. It's just the camera that costs money. Yeah, and the other problem I had was trying to open port 7000 on a router that didn't want me to let open any ports, because it's for consumers who don't want to do that kind of thing. So that's been a bit of a challenge as well, but it works.
You
fine.
Need a Draytech, mate.
I need a Draytech. I could open it.
Very good gear is Draytech.
Unfortunately, the Draytech won't get me direct connection to the Virgin Media system. So,
funny enough, I'm just looking at that router now, and I must admit, those look like serious aerials on there.
Exactly, it's all about the aerials.
Buy it for the aerials. Yeah, buy it for the aerials. Oh, look at the aerials on that. Hey, oh. Have I done everything? I keep feeling like I've forgotten something.
Where can we get hold of you?
Yeah, that'll do. Where can we get hold of you, James?
SYZYGY Syzygy at Twitter.
At Syzygy.
Not on Facebook.
Not on Facebook, good man. But you are on Google Plus.
I'm actually on Facebook, but kind of like I only pop on there every now and then. And I'm on a Google Plus, and I will do my best now that everybody else has joined it to be on there more often. I promise.
Mike yes. has looked at the image of my back garden and got all dewy-eyed because it reminded him of the bash in July.
Oh.
It was fun, good times. Wasn't it, guys?
Don't forget, Bagel Tech Bash, 4th birthday, next year, July the 6th. It's a Friday, so it's a perfect day. It's our actual birthday as well. The 6th is our actual
yeah.
birthday.
Yeah.
It's definitely happening. There's no question about it. So book your flights, your trains, your planes, your automobiles and your hotels now. And we'll be definitely doing it. There you go. Ian, where can we get you, mate?
I'm on Twitter at TIOABOA. Turn it off and back on again, as always. Also find me on Google Plus on the same thing as well.
Good man. Have you got TIOABOA?
I think I have. I've got the... it might be under my name, actually.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
I'll be under my name, Ian Grant, if you're not. You'll find me there on Twitter.
Sarah, where are you, Mrs.?
You can get hold of me on my website, which is sarahjaneuk.com, or best of all, on Twitter at sarahjaneuk.
Too good. And finally, last but not least, Eric Lanigan.
At ericlanigan.com and twitter.com/ericlanigan. And tomorrow night on Late Night Tech, once again, ericlanigan.
The UK morning show for tech talk.
Yes. Late Night Tech. In the morning.
From 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. if you run at the normal time. Because you didn't run at the normal time the other day, did you? Got a right kicking for it.
Yesterday,
you were an hour early or something.
Oh, no. Yesterday was fine. It was Monday that I went early. But I think the schedule should have been earlier. But yeah. Well, I think we're going to change it. Because 8 o'clock, I need to get there so that there are no reruns whenever possible preceding me. Because people think that the network has ended their broadcast day. And they tune off and the viewership goes vroom. And so I get no calls. So it's like last night I went straight from PC Perspective into my show. And it is a different show when people just carry right over.
Jolly good, mate. So it's now gone from to 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. So you might have cut a few
depending
UK
on the
listeners
day.
Down.
Depending
did we
on
work
the day,
out yeah. where it was prime time around the world?
Yeah, that's on the East Coast here. So I do a prime time late night morning show.
Good man. We like that. We'll be back again next week, next Thursday, as normal, with the big show, looking at the news that there's been in the week. And we've got the Daily Show coming up tomorrow. Max Show has swapped with Photo Show. So if you do come to those, don't forget they swap places. We had a fantastically full chat room for the Photo Show last week because everyone had turned up for Mac. Sorry. So Photo Show's at 1, Max at 3. And then we've got the F1. Singapore
yeah,
Grand Prix
Monday
on Sunday. So
F1
Monday
evening, night,
we're going to have the F1 show. So we're going to broadcast this time. We'll have sorted all our problems out because we've sussed out Justin TV. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.